Now, can I go to verse 15, 16, and 17? And just very briefly, you could look at these verses, and I'll explain to you what is going to take place. That was revealed to us by the word of the Lord. And just keep in mind what John have said. All the revelations of God are ended in this book. There is no more anything new. It's all in here. It's all in here. It's all in the word of God. There's nothing you are not going to... After the book of Revelation, there is nothing else God will show. He have written everything in that book. So what will take place? Let's use the illustration. I'll use my grandfather, for example. My grandfather went to be with the Lord. He was a believer. His body is in the grave. Some 30 years ago or so. His body is in the grave. His spirit is in paradise. And we are, those of us who are believers in the Lord Jesus are sitting in this room. Now, just imagine with me that the rapture will happen right now. That the Lord Jesus is coming right now. What will take place? Look at the greatness of the work of Christ. I want to impress that on your heart. The greatness of his person and the greatness of his work. What will happen is this. The spirit of those true believers in the Lord Jesus, that they are in paradise, they will come down. They will indwell the bodies that were in the grave. These bodies are going to be resurrected. The spirit will come down and dwell in them. And these graves will be open. Why? These graveyards that you see everywhere where the Christians are, these tombs are going to be open everywhere. And these bodies are getting out of that grave and then changing to be like the body of the Lord Jesus. Now imagine, this is happening right now. The spirits are coming down, dwelling in the bodies of those believers. These bodies are changing. And then, after that will take place, you and I who are sitting in this room who believe in the Lord Jesus, our bodies will change also. And then together, we are caught up to meet the Lord in the air. If I get a couple of shaving of irons, you know, a couple of pieces of irons, and I put them on the floor here, and I get this electronic magnet that is very strong, and I put it over them, what happened to those little pieces of iron? They're going to fly right there to the magnet. And that's exactly what's going to take place. The spirit comes down, dwells in the bodies change. We are who? Alive and remain. That's not going to happen to us before them. It's going to take place in them first. And then we will do that. And then we are all marching on in that sphere in there. All the true believers going on, marching on with bodies like the bodies of the Lord Jesus. Right to heaven. And you know how long is that process going to take? Now, I want you, I have written it down somewhere and I don't know it. How many... blink, your eye blink in a second. If any of you know, let me know. But I know it and I forgot it and I don't want to throw a number that doesn't make sense. You count how many in a second your eye blink. We're talking about millions of saints here in the grave. We're talking about millions of saints are alive. You're talking about the speed of light? Forget about the speed of light.
20,000 a day.
20,000 a day. Well, do the calculation and tell me how many a second. That's how it's going to take place. It is fast, fast, fast. You see the work of the Lord Jesus? You see the greatness of the work of the Lord Jesus? Satan thought, I poisoned their body, it's in the grave, they're done. Okay, the Lord is going to redeem my spirit? Not only that. He's going to do a tremendous work when all of the saints of God are being caught up and gone out of this misery, out of this scene. It's going to happen because it is the word of the Lord.
I think it's interesting in this portion that the Apostle Paul, the Spirit of God led him to begin with hope. And he says that we have hope. And then at the end, there's encouragement. So you see that this portion, that there's hope. There's our work is not in vain here. The Lord is coming again and we will be with him. And it's just how it ends. We will always be with the Lord. That's the hope and that's the encouragement that we can share with those who have lost a loved one, that it's they're with the Lord, which is far better, but we will be with him too. So it's just something that we can use to encourage each other.
any significance to the fact that it's pretty clear that the Apostle Paul sees himself as being a part of the company who will be alive when the Lord Jesus returns? Because it says, verse 17, after that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we'll be with the Lord forever. And he goes on to classify the other group, those who are dead, as them. Clearly, the Apostle Paul has passed away quite several thousand years ago. But is there any significance to the fact that he saw it or he felt that he would be a part of the company who would be here when the Lord came back?
I think as a believer, knowing Apostle Paul, that none knows the seasons except the Lord himself, he was always in the good of it that the Lord is coming at any second. And I certainly believe it should be the case with all of us, because we don't know the moment that he will come for us, but he could come any second. So since we are talking about it, we can say we that are alive right now, because we're expecting the Lord to come at any second. And it's the same thing with the Apostle Paul. When he was presenting that wonderful truth, what was before him, that the Lord is coming at any second. And he lived in the good of that hope, where he was thinking, we that are alive. Nevertheless, I have to say that when you go to Philippians 3, the Apostle Paul also said, I want to be like the Lord Jesus, to know him in the power of resurrection. So the two are before Paul ever. So he will, the Lord is coming, or he will put me to death. I want to experience the same thing that Christ Jesus have experienced. The thing that should take hold of our souls. It's a wonderful truth to know how the Lord is coming. Twinkling of an eye. The greatness of his power. All these things are so important and wonderful. But I dare to say that the main thing that should take hold of our souls, that the Lord himself shall descend. Listen, it's wonderful to hear a voice of an archangel. There are three different things, and I don't want to discuss why these three. But I want to say this. I am satisfied, dear brethren, and I hope we're all satisfied, that the Lord himself is coming. It's not the voice, impressive as it is, trumpet, great as it is, wonderful. But our hearts should be after the Lord himself. He shall descend. He doesn't send his angel to come and pick us up. He doesn't send anybody to meet us in the air. It's himself personally, because it tells me how much he loves his own, that he wants to come himself and to meet him in the air. Another display before the enemy that he is defeated. Because the air, who does the air belong to in the present moment? To the devil, to Satan. And when the Lord comes himself to bring us home, it's another display that, hey, enemy, Satan, you are completely a defeated foe. That every soul I redeemed, here they are, coming with me to glory.
And also says that the return of the Lord is as a thief in the night. So it's going to be so subtle and so surprising to those who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and who will not be joining us in the air. And also I would like to say that it's going to be a miraculous day. I can't wait for that day personally, to not only be with those who have gone on before, but to be with my blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ.